Peter Panfield is a vice president of power engineering for Liebert Solutions at Emerson Network Power. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks, Tom.
Peter, tell us how we can improve our readiness when it comes to infrastructure systems.
Sure, Tom. I'll start with some basics and move up to some best practices. Slide. Today, we're going to cover causes of interruptions, readiness statistics, analyzing your infrastructure and availability tier levels, a new way to describe availability tiers, moving up the tier levels, and some high availability benchmarks. Slide. Major causes of downtime include software defects and failures, planned administrative downtime, system network reconfiguration, application upgrades, operator error, and hardware maintenance, and building and metropolitan area site disasters, fire, explosion, earthquake, tornado, those kinds of things. Slide. Now let's look at some of the threats to infrastructure availability. And when you start to list them, it looks pretty intimidating. Some of these are fairly obvious, such as natural disasters, and some not so obvious, like the impact of external agencies and of new technologies and applications. But with the exception of inadequate service level agreements and external agencies and organizations, there are infrastructure design strategies and technologies you can use to minimize your vulnerability to these threats. Here are some load loss data collected by Liebert Global Services. You can see that more than a third of load loss was caused by insufficient or bad batteries. Add EPO and user errors, and that percentage goes to more than half of all load loss. Slide. Most server manufacturers say that about 40 centigrade is the maximum heat their equipment can stand. After that, shutdown is not your only problem. You're also looking at component degradation. If you lose cooling in a facility where your average rack is about 5 kW, you've got about 25 minutes to address the problem. If your average kilowatts per rack is about 14.5, which we're seeing in some installations today, you've got about 2 minutes. Obviously, this is an issue that needs to be addressed in your business continuity planning if you plan on staying up for more than 2 minutes after cooling loss. Even if you aren't in a high heat density environment, an interruption in cooling can cause a failure. When one major New York area wireless service provider experienced system failure after the blackout of 2003, it was ultimately a cooling issue that brought them down. Though the power system, including batteries and generators, was designed for high availability, the cooling system was not attached to a backup power supply. So when utility power went out, so did cooling. So in just 4 hours, the telecom equipment overheated and failed. On the power side, they actually had enough generator runtime to ride through the 8 hours. So the cooling issues cut their planned ride-through in half. As densities increase, more organizations will experience these types of outages if they don't take preventive measures. Slide. At the end of last year, Emerson Network Power sponsored a survey of readers of Continuity Insights magazine, and here are some of the results of that survey. 76% of the business continuity professionals surveyed do not perform what we would consider to be a real test of those generator systems. 68% don't know how long their computers can operate without cooling. We just saw some of those times to thermal shutdowns earlier. While 44% said their cooling systems are not redundant. 30% don't have monitoring. 27% don't have redundancy in their power systems. So there's definitely a gap in many cases between the availability needs that are required to support business continuity and the systems that are actually employed. Slide. Once you understand your downtime costs, you can start to determine what level of availability and resilience you need and what steps you can take to get there. These are just some of the questions you should ask yourself as you begin to prioritize steps to improve your resilience. Are your line drawings up to date? Has your load been calculated based on real power usage? Do you know if your UPS batteries can still provide the runtime you need? Have you calculated the amount of time your computer systems can operate without cooling? Do you have UPS battery monitoring systems in place and a preventive maintenance program? Assessing your infrastructure is a complex undertaking, and it's important to understand the details of the systems you're assessing. You can go to Liebert.com, and under the business continuity topic area, you can link to an availability quick test to get you started. Slide. Now let's look at one of the many availability tiers definitions. This one is from Uptime Institute. The key progression is from a basic system to redundancy, to maintainability, to fault tolerance. These are tenets of most tiers definitions. Let's look at a progression through availability tiers that is model independent, one that focuses on the structures critical to success. Slide. A basic data center is susceptible to disruption from planned and unplanned activity. Maintenance requires total system shutdown, and operational errors or load-generated faults will cause a data center disruption. Slide. A redundant component data center is less susceptible to downtime from planned and unplanned activity, but certain maintenance activities require load shutdown. It has a single critical bus to power distribution. Slide. In a concurrently maintainable data center, planned maintenance can be performed without required equipment shutdown. It has enhanced redundancy design of the UPS and generator system. Typically, the capacity is N plus 1, and the critical load on the system does not exceed 90% of that N. UPS system maintenance can be performed while still providing UPS power to the load. In this case, operator error can still cause load disruption. Slide. Here is one line of a concurrently maintainable data center. It has redundant feeds, redundant engine gen, and transfer switches with precision cooling on the generator protected source, redundant UPS modules and maintenance bypass, separate power distribution paths to dual corded loads, but a single critical bus to that distribution. There's a clear path to a fault tolerant data center from one that is concurrently maintainable. Slide. In a fault-tolerant data center, the system can sustain one worst-case fault condition without load shutdown. It utilizes bus switches for dual sourcing, single-corded loads, and fault isolation. It's fault-tolerant in that load-generated faults are isolated from affecting the other critical loads. It includes simultaneous active distribution paths, dual bus. Each system has N plus 1 redundancy, and the combined critical load on the system does not exceed 90% of N, which is typically 40 to 45% on each side. There is still an exposure due to the single point of failure from fire systems and EPO. Slide. Here is the one line of a fault-tolerant data center. Redundant feeds, redundant engine gen and transfer switches with precision cooling on the generator protected sources, redundant UPS systems, dual critical buses to separate power distribution paths powering dual corded loads. Static switches are not shown on this one line. They would be between bus A and bus B to power single-corded loads. We're also seeing static switches used for fault isolation as well as feeding dual-corded loads on multiple bus systems. Slide. In climbing the availability ladder, gaining momentum in IT infrastructure are data protection and mirroring, sometimes driven by governance, other times by performance guarantees. On planning and management, it's realistic testing using real-world plans with change control and scope that involves all stakeholders. MOP here means methods of procedure, ones that are routinely reviewed and tailored to the actual configuration being managed. Slide. Drivers to mitigate up and availability classification include elimination of single points of failure, improving maintainability, mitigating that downtime cost, improved redundancy, compartmentalization through zone distribution and improved fault management. Redundancy can be built at the component level, at the unit level, and at the room level. And critical systems management helps to improve reliability using the systems you already have in place today. Slide. Let's look at eliminating single points of failure in a basic data center. This data center has a single bus, single module UPS, no maintenance bypass, single distribution out to those loads, single cable per computer device, and single power supply per server, a number of single points of failure. Slide. Moving to a fault-tolerant data center, we've added a dual-bus redundant module UPS with maintenance bypass, redundant electrical distribution, smart power strips in the racks. These help to eliminate excess cabling under the floor and improve airflow, and dual power supplies per server. All single points of failure are eliminated, except for EPO and the fire systems. Slide. Adding redundancy for cooling can be accomplished with the addition of local cooling. You want to take the fluid closest to the heat source, either through coils on the rack, coils in the rack, or fluid directly to the CPU. It has a positive impact on capacity and availability, as well as scalability and total cost of ownership. Slide. Here is a depiction of local cooling using overhead cooling units mounted in the ceiling. High availability methods are used by employing redundant cooling loops. Slide. Here's a depiction of local cooling using overhead cooling units mounted on the rack. Again, redundant cooling loops are employed. Slide. And here is a depiction of local cooling using in-row cooling. In all of these configurations, local cooling supplements baseload cooling to help deal with high heat density applications. All use a hot aisle, cold aisle approach. Slide. Let's turn to monitoring. Integrated systems management provides understandable alarms and actions to follow. How many times have you been involved in analyzing an alarm generated by your systems that you do not understand due to its cryptic nature or it's not accompanied by actions to take that are understood by all involved? This is a continuous process with investment in the monitoring system, manpower to manage the data and training, having predefined actions and responses to incidents helps reduce accidental misoperation. Slide. Here's an example of cooling telemetry. Rather than just being given an overtemp alarm, you're made aware that conditions are warming, giving you a chance to respond before conditions get critical. Slide. Here's an example of UPS telemetry. You could know the power profile of your system prior to any action being taken. This would allow you to identify when out-of-norm conditions occur. Slide. For generators, critical temperatures and peak currents delivered may be of most value to you. Slide. We saw earlier that over a third of critical bus failures were caused by bad batteries or inadequate battery runtime. Capturing battery telemetry is a vital tool to help identify potential problems. Slide. All these contribute to a change from break fix to predictive monitoring, improving availability. Slide. Now let's do an infrastructure analysis. This was an actual data center that needed to improve its capacity, redundancy, and availability. There were many single points of failure. There was limited adaptability. There was a single UPS reaching full capacity. And the data center was running out of PDU circuit breaker space. Power cable management under the floor was a challenge, and there was limited ability to perform system maintenance. Slide. The project was broken down into business requirements and drivers and solutions. The first requirement was to create a fault-tolerant and highly availability infrastructure through the elimination of single points of failure. The solution was to engineer infrastructure to progress from a basic data center to a fault-tolerant one. Increased power capacity was needed to support business growth. A solution was to increase capacity from near full load on a single bus UPS to 40% on a dual bus system. Slide. Increased circuit capacity was needed to support IT growth. The solution was to design dual distribution paths using static switches for single-corded loads and increasing the number of available circuits. The ability to perform preventive maintenance was also a critical addition, without having to put the systems at increased risk of major outage. A dual bus UPS design allowed for the ability to perform UPS preventive maintenance while operating with dual bus availability. Slide. Zone power distribution was employed to improve subfloor cable management as well as improve subfloor airflow. A zoned floor plan was created for the power system. Advanced planning allowed new circuit cables to be pre-ordered with the cables according to length. A reduction in cable lengths meant less clutter underneath the floor, and the post-project plan included removal of old power cables to help improve subfloor airflow. Next slide. Improved power circuit manageability involved the real-time view of the power circuits. Additional monitoring was added for the distribution circuits, additional circuit labeling was added, and a facilities database was created to include all systems and their respective circuit ID numbers. Real-time visibility to all power events was necessary. What was installed is a centralized monitoring system. Power systems as well as environmental parameters were added to that monitoring system, and battery monitoring was a part of that overall infrastructure monitoring configuration. Next slide. To ensure that the computer air conditioners did not lose power in the event of a power loss of one of the critical buses, electrical redundancy was added to the computer air conditioners. They were mounted post transfer switch. So the automatic transfer switches would provide protected power to the computer room air conditioners in the event of a power loss. Finally, they wanted to add uninterruptible power to the IDF closets. In this case, they installed UPS systems in the IDF closets, and they were supported from redundant power feeds. The data center consolidation project required additional cooling BTUs to deal with the new blade technology that was being employed in the data center. Spot cooling was used during the upgrade of the outage window. And then the added monitoring capability was required because of enterprise visibility and SOX compliance. A solution was to add page views for remote local location monitoring, as well as centralized views for alert for any of the alarms that occurred in the system. Up next, a financial services company. This company has two data centers in the U.S. and has a combined total of more than 100,000 square feet of controlled space. 10% of the world's economy is moving through these two data centers at any given moment. Both data centers operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. In addition to these centers, the company has a number of primary telephone rooms, each with distributed floor-level telephone rooms, and then further distributed to numerous network closets. The data centers are both protected by 2N UPS systems. In a 2N system, either one of the two UPS systems could take over the load in case of a failure. Battery backup on each system is 30 minutes of runtime. It is also important to note that all of the company's remote locations, computer rooms, network closets, and telephone closets, are all protected by UPS systems. Redundant cooling systems are also employed. Each redundant cooling unit incorporates two compressors for additional component-level redundancy. An extensive monitoring system provides advanced information on everything from incoming power to temperature in the racks. The data collected is used to prevent failures before they occur. Slide. All system maintenance must be pre-approved before being performed. Once approved, maintenance is conducted between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. All IT systems must remain running during maintenance. Each piece of equipment has a prescribed preventive maintenance schedule. An automated maintenance management system sends out reminders that maintenance has been scheduled. For security purposes, all rooms are locked and have key card systems for entry. They are also monitored with video surveillance systems. Most large companies have load banks brought in to test generators once or twice a year, but this organization has load banks on site for frequent testing. Once a year, pull-the-plug testing is performed that sends all IT systems to backup generator power. Why is all this done? Slide. No downtime. The company's vigilance has paid huge dividends. In 8 years, it has experienced no downtime in any of its main data centers. This accomplishment is far above industry average, and the company has been able to capitalize on its reliability, and they promote it as a competitive advantage. Slide. Finally, we have a major banking and financial firm. Their facility uses enough power to light Lower Manhattan. The power is protected by 2N UPS systems with maintenance bypass capability, so the organization is always operating with twice the required amount of power for full system protection. By maintaining an extra available UPS and by using static transfer switches, the organization can keep single and dual-corded load equipment fed and with conditioned power at all times. Equipment is cooled by redundant precision cooling systems. All remote applications are protected to 6.9's reliability by incorporating the same online double conversion UPS technology there. Power is monitored from the time it enters the building all the way to the network and computer equipment being powered. Temperature, mechanical issues, humidity, equipment changes, leak detection, and battery life are all monitored. Data is collected and information is used to make preventive repairs and replacements so that failures are avoided. Slide. When we talk about protecting computer systems with redundancy, this isn't just limited anymore to a single data center. Additional redundancy providing an even higher level of availability is achieved by having a second or even a third remote backup data center. This practice has become more and more prevalent since September 11th. For physical security, no one can enter a data center, computer room, or even a network closet without being on an approved list or without having proper identification. This practice doesn't just protect against potential sabotage, it also reduces the chance of human error and assures that only experienced service personnel have access to vital infrastructure. Another key procedure often taken for granted is to consistently label and document all components, patch panels, and cables to avoid pulling the wrong handle type mistakes. Carefully maintained up-to-date system drawings are always on hand in each data center. Sufficient fuel for the backup generators is stored for 30-day supply. Yes, you heard that right, a 30-day supply with well-executed contracts in place to maintain and replace it. The fuel is also tested regularly to detect contamination. Slide. This company is so confident in its ability to generate backup power that in exchange for reduced utility rates, they've negotiated a contract with Con Ed to go off-grid and generate their own power up to 8 times a year in cases where Con Ed has experienced a spike in demand. The following quote is directly from the company's Statement of Disaster Preparedness. Our effective response to an electrical blackout that affected most of the Northeast United States, including New York City's financial district, clearly demonstrates the effectiveness of our response to disruptive events. Slide. In summary, tier systems are useful guidelines but have limitations to standards. Use your availability needs as a guide to move your data center up the availability tiers from basic to redundant to concurrently maintainable to fault tolerant. Your actual availability depends on your design and your operations. You can safely and effectively increase your tier availability, and integrated systems management helps you to optimize your availability by getting the most out of what you have now. Business strategy drives availability needs, and availability needs drive design and operation. That wraps up my portion of the presentation today. I'll turn it over to you, Tom.